Amen. Take your Bibles with me tonight, and we'll be turning to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, you'll stand as we read God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and the Bible says in verse number 50, and I'll start reading there. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm preaching on this thought tonight as we continue on in our Christian series on the Christian and his service. The Christian and his service. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the time together. We pray, Father, that you would help us now as we honor your word, Lord, as we preach the Bible. God, I pray that you'd encourage each heart tonight. Thank you for the time that we could pray together and lift up these petitions before you. Lord, I pray that you bless the message tonight. God, touch these hearts as they hear as we preach the word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. And think about these particular verses. And the church of Corinth had a lot of problems. And we can all say amen to that, anybody that's read the book of Corinthians in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They had a lot of problems like a lot of our churches this day and time. They were a very carnal church. And Paul dealt with several issues. First of all, he dealt with the divisions within the church. And then he dealt with the discipline in the church. Then he dealt with the difficulties in the church. Now, when he gets toward the end of 1 Corinthians, he turns his attention toward the end of this letter, toward a different area. He turns his attention toward the disbelief in the church. And there were a sect during this time called the Sadducees, and their doctrines were running rampant. There was some confusion about the resurrection, if you remember and study in your Bible. So Paul first addresses the resurrection of Christ in this particular chapter, and then he tries to make them to understand the resurrection of the saints and what that is about. So as we think about in starting at verse number 50, when he gets to verse 50, he commences to tell us the mystery of this great change that he had spoken of from about verse number 35. All the way through verse number 50. He talks about the flesh and the beast and the fishes and other birds. He said there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, verse 41. For one star differeth from another star in glory. He talks about this sowing of this, verse 42. He said, so is the resurrection of the dead. He said, it's sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And he speaks about this natural body and the spiritual body. One that is earthy, he says, in verse number 48. But he mentions in verse number 50, he tells us about the mystery of this great change. And he begins there and he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, first, he speaks of this, and he says there is a great impossibility found here. And that is that there is nothing that is of flesh and blood, you see. There is nothing earthy and nothing carnal is going to inherit, you see, incorruption. It is only by the grace of God that we'll see incorruption. It is only by the acceptance by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the filling of the Spirit of God, you see, that you'll see incorruption. There's nothing earthly, you see, or earthy, that is going to see incorruption. There is a great impossibility here in these verses. Secondly, then there is a great imperative. Not only an impossibility, but an imperative. He says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." A mystery. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." First, there will be a rapture of the remained for some. And he said, we're not all going to sleep. That is, we're not all going to die. But he said, we all will be changed. Now, he's not speaking about those who are dead in Christ. He's speaking about those who are alive and remain. That Paul tells in another church, he said, those alive and remain should be caught up. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those which are that are alive and remain. Now, these are the remain, the rapture of the remain. He said, they will be changed. Now, there will be a rapture of the remain for some, but there will be a renewal for all. And he makes it clear. He says, but we shall all be changed. That is, there are going to be some that are going to die, he says. There are going to be some that are going to taste death. But he said, we'll all be changed. And it doesn't matter, he said, whether you're in the rapture, you see, with the remain, or whether you're the dead in Christ that arise first. He said, thank God, we'll all be changed. Now, I'm glad for that, amen. This renewal is for all. I'll tell you, it'll be a surety, amen. It'll be for sure. He said, we shall all be changed. Now, that doesn't mean you might be. He didn't say maybe we'll be changed. He said, we shall all be changed. That is a for surety, you see. This is going to happen. I can look somebody in the eye and I can let them know this scripture, you see, is going to be fulfilled. It is going to come to pass. There is no doubt that one day that trump is going to sound. There is no doubt that one day, according to the scriptures, we're all going to be taken up, amen, to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we shall be with the Lord. It will be sure. The renewal for all will be sure. It'll not only be sure, but it'll be sudden. Verse number 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, that's pretty fast, amen. This word moment comes from a word, atomos. Atomos. This word is where we get our word atom, you see. And an unsplittable thing. Now, quantum mechanics nowadays are splitting atoms. This word atomos means unchanged, though. It means to the final place. It means unchangeable or uncut. What is that talking about, Brother Shoemaker? That means that it is not going to affect time. Time is going to go on just like it always has, and not one second will be out of place when it comes to the rapture of the Lord's people. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, my friends, it's going to be sudden. He then tells us about the trumpet in verse number 52. And toward the end of verse 52, he tells us of the transformation. He says that we shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. And then he says in verse number 53, he said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Now, he mentions two distinct things in verse number 53. He's talking about this change that'll bring about durability. That is, there is no more decay. Corruptible must put on incorruption. How many is thanking God for no more decay? Amen. You won't have to wake up one on that morning, amen, and worry about the creaks and pains and all the things popping out of place. And we'll wake up, amen, and there'll be no more decay. Not only do we find no more decay when we think about this durability, but no more death. The Bible says, in this mortal must put on immortality. He didn't say will, but he said must put on immortality. That goes with that word we was talking about, S-H-A-L-L. Amen. That means it's going to happen. And he said the mortal must put on immortality. My friend, you're not going to see heaven without putting on immortality. It has to happen. He also mentions not only the change of durability in this particular chapter, but he mentions the change of dominion. In verse number 54, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friend, we're not bound in this natural body any longer at that point in time. Nor does death or the grave have anything more to say. His message then, at that moment, leads us to the triumphant shout of the redeemed. I love that verse. He says, O death, where is thy sting? Boy, that's a good question, ain't it? We find here the shout of the remained, those who are alive and remain. We'll look back as they go through the air, and they'll shout back, Brother Bill, O death, where is thy sting? That is, we didn't have to taste death. Hey, because God conquered death. Amen. The Bible says that death is swallowed up in victory. And my friend, there'll be those that look back and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Whereas there'll be some who have experienced the coffin experience. And they're in the ground and across the seas or wherever that they are here upon this earth, my friend. And their bodies will be reunited again. And they'll be caught up. And they'll look back and say, O grave, where is thy victory? That is, you couldn't bind me. You couldn't keep me. Amen. There is nothing going to hold back God's people when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Hey, aren't you glad for that tonight? I've been preaching, though, this series, this month on the Christian, this Christian series, to help us be a better Christian. And in this year, we've dealt with the Christian and his faithfulness, his determination, his obligation, his church, his Bible, his compassion, the Christian and his community. Now tonight, I said I'm preaching on the Christian and his service. Now this particular chapter, as Paul gets toward the end of this chapter, he puts a little word in there, therefore. And he says, because of what's going about to take place, because of what's about to happen, because of this rapture that's about to take place, death cannot hold us, and there is no grave that's going to keep us down. And as he gets to this place, he begins to focus in verse number 58. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, make sure you continue steady on, because we've got something great to look forward to. And I think about the service of the Lord. I want you to know something tonight. Hey, you're looking at a preacher that has not always been encouraged. Hey, listen, there have been times that I have been very discouraged. There have been times whenever I have put my head to the ground and I said, I'm about ready to give up. I'm about ready to call it quits. Hey, what's good in going out knocking doors? Nobody wants to come. What's good in going out knocking doors? Nobody wants to hear. Let me tell you something. I've told more folk about the Lord probably since I've been here than maybe from the time I got to go up there. I'm talking about presenting the gospel. Not that we didn't get to see folks saved and get to see some lives change up there in Nebraska, but I'm telling you what, hey, that's Catholic country up there. It's hard to talk to folk, and they're a little bit reserved up there in the Midwest. They're not like the Southerners down here. You know, come on in for a sweet tea and we'll talk it over. It's a little bit different. And I want you to know it don't matter whether you're down here or up there, no matter where you're at. Hey, listen, the Christian service is not always about ups. Amen? There are going to be some downs in the Christian service. Hey, listen, I think about a couple of downs tonight. Church attendance is down. I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about this church age. Churches all across this nation, hey, they have the one inspiring, uninspiring message. And there seems to be an uninspiring attitude about being faithful to God's house.
A disregard of Hebrews 10:25 seems to be a common theme amongst churches. Not only is church attendance down across the nation, even thinking about, I'm talking about good fundamental Baptist churches, but church services are down. Hey, many people have quit having churches altogether on Sunday nights. And they even starting to cancel Wednesday night prayer meetings. They say Sunday morning is all right. Everything's fine. We get enough church and, we find that the people come more if we just have one service a week. And we can start our small groups. If they want to meet here or meet there, they can. My friend, what's happening is people are becoming more irregular in their service toward the Lord because church services are down. Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? Church servants are down as well. I'm talking about diminished people that actually get in there and serve the Lord. You know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it used to be 25% of the people did the work in the church and 75% of the people just came. It seems like that has went down drastically since then. It went from 25 to 20 to 15 to 10, and now we may get to a place today where we got 5% of the people doing the work and 95% of the people that just show up. Now, this is a Wednesday night. We're just teaching the Bible. Just hang on. Psalms 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalms 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. John 12, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My friend, the question for us tonight is, are we faithful to serve? There's an old earthly proverb that says, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Anybody ever heard that proverb? People, it seems that people who are not busy in the Lord's work are normally, you know, more worldly in their thinking and in their actions. And we become too earthy-minded to be of any heavenly good. I want to look at this verse for a few minutes, and I want to bring out some qualifications that will help us to get the work done. And I believe that is needful this day and time. As we look unto the coming of the Lord, and we look for the change of our body, He said, therefore, because these things are in place, He said, there are some things that you need to put in place. Hey, to make sure that you are faithful to continue to serve the Lord until you're caught up. How many are waiting for that day? Amen. How many would like to be serving when it happens? Amen. You say, well, Brother Shoemaker, I'll probably be in the ground when it happens. Hey, that'll be fine for me too. The dead in Christ are going to rise. They'll be first. Amen. Come on now. Hey, listen. You say, I'll be dead and gone. Well, that might be true, but He may come back tonight. He may come back in the next week, in the next year. Hey, you may be alive 5, 10, 15, 20 more years. Hey, and though you may see the coming of the Lord, I wonder, will He come and find faithfulness upon the earth? Will He come and find us serving here at Faith Baptist Church? Sometimes I wonder when I look across congregations, and I wonder who will be here in 5 years. I'm not talking about how many who will be here alive. I'm talking about who will be in church. I wonder who will be around in about 5 years or 3 years or 4 years. And you say, Brother Shoemaker, you know, you could probably look around and everybody will be here in 5 years. Hey, listen, I thought that might be true 8 months ago, 9 months ago, a year ago. Hey, listen, when I was up north, I thought it was true 2 years ago and 5 years ago. Hey, and some of the very ones up there that I thought would never forsake you are the very ones that do. Now, stay with me tonight. I won't be long. I'm down to my last half a page. You say, that's kind of hard to believe, Brother Shoemaker. Well, it's true. I want to give you a few qualifications that is going to help us get the work done. Number one, service takes stability. Stability. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, read it with me, be ye steadfast. Webster's says this means firmly fixed, constant. It means resolute. Psalms 92:13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now let me tell you, I'm not going to step out from behind the pulpit because I want y'all to see how well I serve the Lord. I'm joking. Fat and flourishing. It happens to the best of us. Hey, listen, service takes stability. He said, you those that are planted in the house of the Lord, He said, they'll flourish. They'll be the ones there. He said, that'll bring forth fruit in the old age. Hey, listen, the ones that'll still be serving in 3 years from now, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, are those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord, are those that say, I'm going to stay with God no matter what. Hey, my family can get out of church. My spouse can get out of church. Whoever wants to get out of church can. I'm going to plant myself right here and grow where God plants me. Hey, and if it moves me, hey, praise God, to another church, at another state. My Lord, move my job or whatever it may be. Hey, listen, I'm going to go wherever that is, and I'm going to plant my foot firm, and I'm going to make sure that I stay steady at the Lord's work. And He said, they'll continue to produce fruit in their old age. It takes stability, a constant. And let me tell you, there's so many people, you say, it's just too easy, Brother Shoemaker. Well, for many, it's not easy. And if you've been in the ministry long enough, if you've seen enough, hey, you'll see that it's not easy. As we've seen people time and time again, hey, because of sin, because of the flesh, because of pride, because of bitterness, because of jealousy, or whatever it may be, take themselves out of the house of God. And all of a sudden we begin to look around and say, where's so-and-so? I never dreamed old so-and-so would get out of church. I never dreamed this one would get out of church. Hey, and it just doesn't make sense. But my friend, service takes stability. Will God find me serving? Well, He will if I'm stable. Stable. Stability. Not only is it just a constant as far as a resolute mind, but it is a resoluteness about the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that we can do is ground ourselves in this Word. The weaker our minds when it comes to this Bible and a lack of knowledge, the greater that we'll find of the chance to be taken out of the house of God and the ministry altogether. Amen. I tell you, sometimes you go to some churches and I know there's some good churches out there, but I'm telling you, there's some churches out there, my friends. Hey, listen, you ask them where they stand on this or where they stand on that, and one says, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. We just come together on the basis. There was a man over in Belmont many years ago, and he had started this little church on a side street. He said, well, we had this one in, this one in. I said, well, this one believes in speaking in tongues. You believe in that, in this New Age tongue movement? He said, well, I don't believe in that per se. Now, later on, he changed his mind. He did, then he didn't, then he did, then he didn't. Hey, but he began to say, well, I don't know about all that per se right now, as far as the way I believe. But he said, if he believes that and I believe this, we're both saved and we both love the Lord, and that's all that matters. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. That's a weak stand on a very strong doctrine. Or dare I say a weak stand on a strong doctrine, or a weak stand against a false doctrine. And either way you go, it doesn't matter whatever way you want to go on that. Hey, both of those, when you begin to get weak-minded and weak-spirited about some of those things, you'll find yourself, hey, not planting yourself as, you know, Psalms 92 might tell us. You won't be planting yourself in the right fashion in your local church because you plant yourself there based on the Word of God. And if you get outside of that, you'll be weak-minded and you'll be able to be moved around. Which draws me to the second. Not only does service take stability, service takes immovability. The Bible says, and read it with me, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58, unmovable and always abounding in the work. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said it's a time in your life, old church at Ephesus, that you just got to grow up. There's a time in your life when you begin to grow in the Lord and you learn what the Word of God says and you stand on what it means and you don't back up from that. And he says you begin to grow on the foundation of God's Word and you plant yourself solid and you're not allowing yourself to be blown around by every wind of doctrine, hey, by the sleight of men and the cunning and the craftiness of men. Hey, listen, some of the words from some of these evangelists out there today, hey, listen, they come off the tongue smooth as butter. Hey, they know how to say the words right to make it sound believable, to make it sound like that's the way to go. Hey, listen, they know how to do it. And he said, this is the very ones. That's the cunningness and the craftiness. And they lie and wait to deceive. Hey, listen, they spread their lies. And because we don't plan ourselves, hey, to make ourselves immovable, to say, I'm not going to get off base by some of these. Not only by some of those evangelists that are out there preaching false gospel and preaching a false doctrine, but by those you see around us. Sometimes they're within the church, sometimes they're without the church. Hey, but they're always constantly, you know, putting stuff in our ear. Hey, about church and about the service and about people. Hey, and they'll nag and nag and nag. And as they nap in your ear, hey, all of that is just weakening your spirit. Amen. Brother Shoemaker, what are you saying? I'm saying that if you're going to be immovable, hey, there are some things that you're not going to give ear to. There are some people you're not going to give time to. Hey, listen, there are some things I just don't have time for. I don't have time for it. I don't want to hear about it. You got some juicy gossip. Keep it to yourself. Brother Shoemaker's got too much on his plate to be worrying about that old junk. Oh, you just don't understand what's going on in the church and what's going on with this and what's going on with that. And this brother said this and this sister said this. Hey, listen, you don't give ear to that stuff. You want to be here 5 years from now? You want to be here 10 years from now? I'm talking about in the service of the Lord. Hey, you want to be found faithful when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for His own? Hey, be unmovable. Service takes immovability. Service takes responsibility. Notice what the Bible says. Always abounding in the work of God. The word abounding means causing to excel. He said, always abounding. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap." Everybody knows this verse. "Before me for the land that I should not destroy it." Listen to what he said. "But I found none." God said, I'm just looking for somebody, hey, that'll be responsible, hey, to be abounding. That is, hey, maybe had he looked, Brother Hyde, 10 years ago, and God said, I'm going to go back in time, and 10 years ago, he might have looked and found somebody. Hey, 5 years ago, he might have looked and found somebody. As God, you see, is not bound by time. He's past, present, and future. Amen. And so he goes back 20 years, or he goes back 2 years, and he might find somebody. But at that time, at that present time, he said, I was searching for a man. I was looking for someone that would make up that hedge, that would fill in that gap, and he somebody that would speak up, somebody that would be able to stand before God for men. Hey, listen, that's what God's looking this end time. He's looking for somebody that'll stand before God for men. Hey, in a place of prayer, in a place of service, you see. Hey, listen, we have a great responsibility, hey, to stay faithful and to continue on, because God may be looking for a man a year from now in this church. I wonder, will he find one? Hey, 2 years from now, will he find one? He may just be at a place where he doesn't find a servant.
Brother Shoemaker, that'll never happen here at this church. I tell you what, there's been many churches with Ichabod wrote over the door. God's not found here anymore. No servants. Where you find servants, you find godly servants. And where you find godly service, you'll find God. Amen. Service takes responsibility. To be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 58, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said you're working and you're serving. And he said you're always be abounding, that your labor is not empty or shorthanded. That what we are laboring for, we are going to accomplish in our lives for the Lord. Hey, listen, service takes fortitude. He said in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Hey, notice the importance of this work, and it is a work of the Lord. Though God needs no one, you see, hey, to do His work for Him, He chooses to use you, and He chooses to use me for His work. He could, according to the Bible, make the stones cry out if He wished. He could let the angels preach the gospel if He wanted to. He could make the ravens even do His work. It is His work, and He graciously allows you and I to have a small piece in a very great big puzzle. Now, what is that puzzle, Brother Shoemaker? I don't know yet. One day, though, He's going to give us a broad scope of what He's been doing. I'll begin to see what God was doing the whole time. I'll say, God, You let me be a little bitty piece. And all this big, great puzzle, and all of these different pieces fitting meticulously in their places. And here I was, and He called one piece out. Hey, from a little baby born in Amory, Mississippi, of all places. Hey, listen, from Belmont, Mississippi, He called him by his hand. And He allowed him to be a little bitty piece in a very great big puzzle. And when it's all said and done, hopefully I can say, God, hey, by serving You until my dying breath, I was a piece that fit in the place that You called me to be to make Your puzzle work. What kind of puzzle piece are you? I've seen some pieces, I tell you. I wonder if they ever would fit. The way that they deny God, or they deny the service of the Lord, hey, they go their own way, they say they're saved, they say they're all right, they say everything's great, yet they continue to go their own way until and not firmly planting themselves in the ministry and the service of the Lord. I'll tell you one thing, they sure miss out on a lot of reward. Hey, not only the importance of the work that we see,
He said, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, notice the rewards that are to follow. In our day, people often say, you know, let no good work go unrewarded. Well, first, our labor is not in vain because it reaps temporal blessings along with the souls of Christ. Secondly, not one good work done for the Lord will go unrewarded at the judgment. It'll be worth it all, my friend. Say, what do I get in return, Brother Shoemaker? It's not about what you get. It's about what you're doing. God just blesses you. Well, what do I get in return? I tell you, if you serve the Lord, hey, according to the Scriptures, you get a lot of return. Not only in the life to come, but this life. You reap what you sow. I tell you what. Say, Brother Shoemaker, you're not rich. No, I'm not rich. I'm far from rich. But I tell you what. Hey, I know you think about these rich folk out there. They go to their homes in chaos. It's chaos from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. Hey, it's chaos at their work. It's chaos at their house. It's chaos with their kids. Chaos with their marriage. Let me tell you what God brings. He brings peace, comfort. He brings love and mercy. I'm telling you, if you just serve Him, everything that you do for His glory. You do for His glory. When pride wants to build up, you push it back. And you do something for His glory. God will bless that. He'll honor that every time. Just stay serving. Stay serving. I wonder, Faith Baptist Church, will He find you faithful? If He come back tomorrow, next week, I wonder, what will we say that we've done for the Lord? Amen? What can we say? Would He find us in shame? Putting her head down. I wish You'd have given me more time, Lord. You found me unfaithful. Lord, help us not to be found unfaithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed.